During this unusual and challenging time, do you find yourself reaching out for anchor principles to hold on to?
In the midst of everyday circumstances, do you wonder if there are guiding practices upon which to build your life?
How important would these guiding principles be in your life?
How significant would these guiding practices be in ministry of our church?
What biblical values anchor our everyday discipleship and strengthen the ministry of our church?
Core values. Prayer.
In our scripture today, Paul is writing to the Philippians, but he could just as well be writing to us. Philippians 4, beginning with verse 6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. This is the Word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, hello, Christ Church, and all of our friends joining us today. If you're on the website, we'd love to hear from you. Send us a prayer request or a praise report. If you're with us on Facebook, say hello to other friends in the chat. We are glad you're here. If you want to follow along with my outline, you can do so on the website or the Christ Church app. Today, I'm continuing my series titled Core Values. We've said that, you know, whether it's a sports team or a church or a country, the core values of that team, church, or country make all the difference. So far, we've talked about the biblical core values of salvation, Scripture, and the Holy Spirit. We've said that emphasizing these biblical core values anchors our everyday discipleship and strengthens the ministry of our church. Today, I want to talk about the core value of prayer. It, too, is another core value that we want to elevate, to lift up as essential. In fact, one of the things we've said around here for a long time is this: prayer is the foundation of everything we do. That says it all. There's no ministry or task or effort that we undertake or that we endeavor to accomplish that does not first need to be bathed in prayer. We want to cultivate a church-wide focus on prayer. And that's what our 24/7 prayer vigil this week is all about, seeking to encourage all of us to be engaged, to be focused in prayer for our community, church, nation, and world. If you haven't signed up for your 30-minute slot, go online and do it. Do it today. What would it mean if over 500 or even 1,000 of us banded together throughout this week to focus our hearts and lives in prayer? I believe we can move mountains. But there are some common questions that many people have when it comes to prayer. Some people ask, does prayer really work? There are always people asking this question. It's a question that we've each perhaps wondered ourselves at some time or another. It's a natural question, an honest question, a good question. Other people ask, why do I need to pray? If God knows me, knows all, has everything under control, why do I need to pray? Isn't everything already determined? Why? Why pray? Still others ask, why do some prayers go unanswered? It seems that some prayers don't get answered. Prayers for healing, prayers for change, prayers for help. Sometimes we lift up prayers and yet we feel like our prayers go unanswered. Why is that? Some people couch it more personally. Why doesn't God answer my prayers? I believe in the power of prayer, but I wonder, why hasn't God answered my prayer? Is there something wrong with me? Is it something that I have or haven't done? Have you ever been there? Have you ever asked some of those questions yourself? It's probably the sentiment that was behind this note that came to a pastor from a young boy named Johnny. The note read, "Dear Pastor, please say a prayer for our Little League team. We need God's help or a new pitcher." Does prayer really work? These are common questions we ask as individuals, questions that other people ask in their families or group. These are questions asked by little league teams, even high school football teams. Looking back on that Cinderella football season my senior year, I realized there was another thing that we learned that year, that we learned about the value of prayer. Our new coach was a spiritual man. I remember how proud I was to discover that he and his wife attended the church where I went. That was cool. But he also recognized the value of including prayer as a part of our team experience. Before each football game, we did two things that were different that year. One, we all went out and ate a pre-game meal together. Whether at home or away, we loaded up on buses and we went somewhere and ate something together. And that was a time of fun, but also of focus on what we were doing that evening. The other thing we did was to get back on the buses and go to a church or a chapel somewhere in town to hear a devotion and spend some quiet time in prayer. It wasn't very long. I don't even remember anything that was said or who said it, but we went to a church or a chapel and we had the opportunity to spend a brief time in prayer. And that was different. For some of our players, it admittedly was a stretch. It was another part of the new culture that our coach was trying to create. With that part of our pregame ritual, we knew that he believed in the power of prayer, and he was giving us the opportunity to believe in prayer too. It was another part of that season that I realize now was very particularly special. Many people have their own beliefs and convictions about prayer. What do we believe? What are our convictions? And how do these beliefs and convictions cause us to respond? Real quickly, I want to lift up five convictions about prayer from the Scriptures, five things that inform our belief about prayer. The first conviction from the Scripture is this: God loves us. God loves us and desires a relationship with us. The Scripture affirms that Almighty God loves us and desires a relationship with us. That is such good news, and yet for a variety of reasons, it's hard for many people to believe. We know ourselves pretty well, and we don't always like ourselves. Hello? And so the notion that God loves us and desires a relationship with us is hard to wrap our heads around. And yet, as God gently speaks to us through His Word and the witness of others, we can come to the experience, we come to experience this love that's reflected in 1 John 4:16. The writer says, "We know how much God loves us because we have felt His love and because we believe Him when He tells us that He loves us dearly." I don't know about you, but I didn't always feel that or believe that. The love and grace of God was something the Holy Spirit helped me to experience and to understand. A few times in high school, and then later during college and beyond. A second conviction: created in His image, we seek to connect with God. Write "connect" in the chat. Has that been true in your life, that you've desired to connect with God? The book of Genesis indicates that we've been created in the image of God. That's part of our core identity. There is something in us. There is something about us that draws us to want to know God. Have you found that to be true? Ecclesiastes 3:11 says this: God has planted eternity in the human heart. God has created us with eternity in mind. There is a part of every human heart that seeks God. The Apostle Paul, while he was preaching to seekers in Athens about God in Acts 17:28, said this: "For in Him we live and move and have our being. So if we are created in the image of God, we don't ever give up on people or write anyone off, because there's always the hope that a person, any person, will come to that place of seeking to connect with the living God. A third conviction, prayer is our means of communicating with God. Prayer is a spiritual tool that God has given us to communicate with Him. It's a great blessing and a wonderful privilege that we have. Yet some are afraid to use it because we might be disappointed or we don't know everything about it. Too many people just leave prayer on the shelf. We don't use it. We don't practice it. We don't take the gift of prayer and use it. But that's not at all what God wants. God's hope is that we'd have a regular, consistent, ongoing conversation about any and every aspect of our lives. God wants us to be comfortable in sharing our lives with Him. The Apostle Paul must have been thinking about that when he wrote to the Philippians in Philippians 4:6, words that are very relevant still today. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition. Hallelujah. With thanksgiving, present your requests to God. God wants us to come to Him in prayer. Of course, that closeness and open sharing is important in every relationship. A reporter interviewed a man who had been married 56 years. Amazing, he said to the man, what's the secret to such a long, happy marriage? Well, it's quite simple. I make all the big decisions and my wife makes the little decisions. Really? Does that really work? Asked the reporter. Oh, yes, said the man. 56 years and so far, not one big decision. Guys, I don't know if that's the best plan for us or not. A fourth belief about prayer. God transforms us through the power of prayer. Right? Transforms in the chat. Often when we come to God, we want something changed. Our circumstances, our situation, a difficulty, that which causes us pain. We want change. And yet often God is most interested in changing us. Have you noticed that? I don't always like change, because change often means pain. But change also often means growth or healing or new beginnings. And usually that is also what I need. Paul says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And then continuing in verse 7, Paul says, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. As we pray, God's peace will rest upon us and will guard or keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. In the wake of this ongoing pandemic, in the face of these current social and economically uncertain times, in this time of transition and change in our country. As I talk with people, I understand there is a lot of apprehension, a lot of anxiety, anger for some, and genuine fear for many. In the midst of it all, in the midst of everything that we're hearing about, I hear God calling us to pray, calling us to go to our knees. God changes us, transforms us, equips us through the power of prayer. In whatever storm or difficulty we're in, God calls us back to Himself in prayer. That's why our 24/7 prayer vigil this week is so timely. We need to seek God for our congregation, our community, our nation, our world. A fifth conviction. Prayer is the foundation of everything we do. This is part of our Christ Church DNA. This is what we do. I appreciate our weekly prayer partner ministry, our prayer chain team that prays as people have need, and the ongoing ministry of prayer in all of our small groups and meetings as well. Week in and week out, prayer is what we do. It was Jesus Himself who said in John 15:5, "Apart from me, you can do nothing." So we stay connected to Jesus by talking to Him in prayer. Remember what they said about the early church after Jesus had ascended to heaven and the Holy Spirit had come down upon them. Acts 2:42 says, "They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of the bread, and to what? To prayer." To prayer. During my morning devotions this week, Nikki Gumbel told the story of Jean Smith. She was a woman in her mid-60s and had been blind for 16 years. She had a white stick and a guide dog named Tina. An infection had eaten away at the retinas and the mirrors behind her eyes. They could not be replaced, and she was in constant pain. Well, Jean attended an Alpha course, and they had a day retreat to focus on prayer and the work of the Holy Spirit. And during that day retreat, the pain that she had experienced in her eyes left. And she went to church the following Sunday to thank God. And the pastor, after hearing her story, anointed her with oil. And as she wiped the oil away, she realized something. She could see the communion table. God had miraculously healed Jean's eyes. She had not seen her husband for 16 years. She was surprised at how white his beard was. Jean had never seen her daughter-in-law before. Her 6-year-old grandson used to guide her around the puddles to help her avoid getting her feet wet. He said to her, "Who done that, Gran?" Jean replied, "Jesus made me better." I hope you said, "Thank you, Gran." "I will never stop saying thank you," she answered. You know, there are countless millions of people throughout the world who are also saying thank you for their answered prayer. It's wonderful when over the course of our own lives, we have our stories of God answering our prayer. We believe that God is alive, God is real, and that God wants us to relate to Him in a very personal and heartfelt and dramatic way. Prayer is our opportunity to have that personal, one-on-one, everyday relationship with the living God. So, if we have these core convictions about prayer, and we sometimes see firsthand God providing dramatic answers to our prayers, how should we respond? What can we do? What can we learn from others? Real quickly, let me say this. First of all, pray regularly. Post regularly in the chat. We eat regularly. We need to pray regularly too. Paul says in Romans 12:12, "Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, and faithful in what? In prayer." Sometimes there is joy. Sometimes there is pain. Whatever our experience, we want to be faithful in prayer. Secondly, I'd say, pray openly and honestly. Be real with God. Don't hide your true feelings. Get them out there. When I'm angry or frustrated or upset, don't know how to pray, I grab the book of Psalms and I find a prayer there. The psalmist says in Psalm 143:1, "O Lord, hear my prayer. Listen to my cry for mercy. In your faithfulness and righteousness, come to my relief." Hey, God can handle the wide range of our emotions. It's all there in the book of Psalms. Don't hesitate to pray openly and honestly. God can handle it. Third thing I'd say, pray expectantly. Believe that something good is going to happen. Believe that the stage is set for a miracle. Believe in the power of prayer. James 5:16 says, "The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and wonderful results." When we pray with the precious promises of God in mind, we are lining up our thoughts with God's thoughts, with God's Word, and that leads to wonderful results. Do we understand everything there is to understand about prayer? No, we're always learning. And are there times when it may seem like our prayers aren't being answered? Yes, it may seem that way. So what do? We pray anyway. We continue to practice the core value of prayer. And why? Well, remember this. Jesus prayed regularly and encouraged us to do the same. He is the master. We trust Him as He teaches and encourages us to pray. So we lift our hearts in prayer to the God who loves us. And how do we know He loves us? He sent His one and only Son. And remember, after Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, God sent us the Holy Spirit. Thank you, gracious and loving Almighty God. Amen. Amen. Let's pray together. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Almighty God, gracious Lord, we do believe in the power of prayer. Help our unbelief. Enable us to put aside the things that hinder us and draw us closer to You through the power of prayer. In these challenging and uncertain times, may we find strength, courage, wisdom, and all the faith, hope, and love that we need through the power of Your Spirit to lift our hearts in prayer as we boldly walk by faith. In Jesus' name we've prayed, and everyone said, Amen, amen. Hey, I hope the message spoke to you. Remember this, prayer is the foundation of everything we do. If you'd like to visit more about the message or how you can experience this new life with God, this power of prayer through faith in Jesus Christ, please get a hold of me. If you have joined us today and have prayer requests or praise reports, send them to us. We want to hear from you. You can use the app. You can go to the website. You know, your giving, your stewardship, your giving back is one of the most tangible ways to thank God for His goodness. And I'm so grateful that you text to give, you use the app, you go to the website, you mail in contributions. Thank you so much for your generosity. Be sure to take advantage of our discipleship opportunities and find all the information you need on our website, cumctulsa.com. Remember, prayer is our everyday privilege to communicate with the living God. For now, who do you know that needs the power of prayer in their life through faith in Jesus Christ?
You know, I feel like I never finish anything. I have a black belt in partial arts.
Many guests attend our services every week, either online or in person, and we're thrilled to welcome them. Some may have questions about our church, its beliefs, history, and membership, and we want to help. Our quarterly Discover CUMC event will be held on October 17th at 2 p.m. You can learn more about our church and its ministries, or even join the church during that meeting. Contact the church office for more information.
Parenting is never easy. Do you know a parent who's hurting because of the choices their teen or adult children are making? We have a monthly support group for hurting parents that will meet today, Sunday, October 10th at 5 p.m. You don't have to suffer alone. There are other parents who understand and care. See the newsletter for more information.
It continues to be a difficult time for us as a church and our country. Sometimes we need to do a little extra for healing or for answers and guidance. CMC is having a prayer vigil from October 10th to 17th to lift up our burdens and concerns to God. We're also suggesting that you add fasting to the prayer vigil, which strengthens our prayers even more. Sign up for your slot or slots at the welcome desk or follow the link in the newsletter.
You can find all of this information and more on our newly updated website, cumctulsa.com.
Hi, I'm David Wolf, Chair of the Finance Board.
I'm Penny.
Hi, I'm David Wolf, Chair of the Finance Board.
Hi, I'm also Penny.
Here at Christ Church, we pinch every penny. My friends, the staff and finance board here at Christ Church take our stewardship responsibility very seriously. On the expense side of the budget, we want to be the best stewards of the financial gifts you so generously give us. With that in mind, for next year's proposed budget, we've reduced expenses without laying off any staff and without having a negative impact on our children, youth, mission, and worship programs. We did that by deciding not to fill any open positions and eliminating expenses of programs and events we were not able and are not able to have due to the pandemic. On the income side of the budget, our donations are down this year for various reasons. Please help us get an accurate estimate of next year's income budget by returning your estimate of giving card during our stewardship campaign. May God bless and keep you during this most difficult season.
The joy of seeing a child open the boxes for the first time is just, it's incredible.
We are so excited. Many of the children receive the shoebox for the first time in their lives.
We pray that these boxes will be used to bring a lot of happiness and joy, but more importantly, the gospel to each heart, all these little children around the world.
No greater need and no greater time than right now for us to go out and serve boldly. This is what these shoeboxes are all about, to go out and to bring a hope of Jesus Christ around the world.
I'm just so amazed at what God does each and every year. This is an opportunity to impact the lives of millions of children, just like you've seen. But we need more boxes for next year. Every box is an opportunity for us to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. So thank you, and God bless each and every one.